Good morning. It is 7:45. You're on the Mighty 690, and it's time for a legislative update here as we have State Senator Virgil Peck joining us on a fifth Friday of the month. Don't always have a fifth Friday, but here we are. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning, James. Great to be here. I had hoped Representative Dr. Bryce would be with me, but he's got other responsibilities, so he's unable to join us on a fifth Friday. So I said, well, Dr. Bryce, I can cover for you. I'll make you sound good.
Hey, there you go.
I don't know if I will or not, but I'll try.
So, you know, a lot of people going over to, I guess technically it's Havana here for the Caney Valley Antique Power Association. I think of it more of like North Caney, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I was going to say whatever.
I don't think it's really anywhere, but
it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's right on the highway, so yeah. It's a great location. I drove by this morning because it's like 2 miles from my house, and they were out there. They're getting ready. They're set up. They have a flag of the United States on a crane high in the air. This is a big flag, so it can be seen from a long ways away. But I was thinking, James, this morning, the way that ag producers used to produce crops and compared to today, man, it's like, how in the world did they do that back in the day? But if you go to the pioneer days, it kind of takes you back. See some of the old implements, some of the way things were done. It's just clean, wholesome, family fun, a good deal, except for maybe a little bit of moisture out there, at least today, from what KGGF has said. But yeah, since it's close to home and it's really cool, they got this place spruced up. Gary Gorby has a bunch of old signs from old service stations. Now, you wouldn't remember, but those of us who are alive in the 60s and 70s will go out there and you can see signs from old service stations and old cars. I mean, old tractors. I mean, it's just a lot of fun to go to. And you can go and you spend money or not spend money. It's up to you.
Free bean feed tonight.
Free bean feed tonight, so there will be plenty of fuel for tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. So Pioneer Days, check it out just north of Caney. In downtown, well, Havana, right?
Well, it's not downtown. Yeah, the address is Havana, but it's middle of former Hay Meadow.
There you go.
Cool deal.
Great place to check it out. So I understand there's quite a few things coming up, including the filing deadline for some of the races, including governor.
Oh, it has been a really busy time for legislators. People think, well, legislative session's over. You're not doing anything, right? Well, not exactly. I spent time in Chanute with the League of Kansas Municipalities. The city of Coffeeville was represented. Several counties were represented from southeast Kansas. Other cities, Independence was there. Parsons, Chanute, just on and on. But it's a good time for legislators to visit with locally elected individuals. And then I was in Pittsburgh at the Pharmacists Association. They're really pleased about some of the legislation we passed this last session. I am too. I thought it was a good deal for the benefit of Kansans to help control drug costs and provide a lot more freedoms for pharmacists, particularly your little boys, meaning your small town, your mom and pop shops, if you will, like the prescription shop here in Coffeeville, not really a chain, versus like your Walgreens, your Walmarts, your CVS, etc. So we passed legislation. But what you said is exactly right. And I checked just this morning because I was curious. Filing deadline, James, is noon Monday. So that means a person can file up till 5 o'clock today to run for office and up to noon on Monday. There's a lot of candidates who have not filed. All the statewides are up, governor, attorney general, state treasurer, state insurance commissioner, etc. The entire Kansas House is up. The Senate is not. We're all up at once. I think we should be more staggered like Oklahoma, but we're not. That's a whole other topic for another day. But I looked because I was curious, had looked a couple days ago. The guy that is getting so much attention from Johnson County running for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat, Mr. Hamilton, he still hasn't filed. But there are seven other Democrats that have filed for U.S. Senate. Also, the Democrats have their major candidates who are running for governor have filed. Cindy Holscher and Ethan Corson. I serve with both of them in the Kansas Senate. Ethan, I really like. He's a good guy. He's a Democrat. I'm not going to vote for him, but he's still a nice guy. They have filed. There are two no-name Republicans who have filed. I reached out yesterday to a campaign. And I just said something about, hey, you going to announce your lieutenant governor candidate soon? Knowing it's not me, hoping it's not me, I'm sure it's not. They said, yeah, we're going to announce on Monday and file Monday. My response was, I sure hope you don't have vehicle trouble getting to the Secretary of State's office because Monday is the deadline to file. Of course, Ty Masterson, who I support, got the endorsement of President Trump. And so he will be filing, I guess. I mean, he hasn't filed, and no other major Republican candidate. But filing deadline is Monday. It is also, James, if a person wants to change their party affiliation. We have a lot of individuals in Kansas who are of a Democrat philosophy. They're a Democrat, but they're a registered Republican because they want to have an impact on the Republican primary. Okay, I guess that's their choice. But I would urge them this year, if you're a Democrat, to register as a Democrat. And Monday at noon is the change of party affiliation deadline. And the reason is, as I already indicated, there are 7 individuals running for U.S. Senate, probably going to be 8. There are 2 strong candidates running for governor. So the primary is when the parties will select their nominee for the upcoming election. And so I would urge, if you're a Democrat or Democrat-leaning, be registered as a Democrat, impact the party who's going to be there. If you're a Republican like myself, be a Republican, get involved in the process, because there's going to be a lot of races up. Not only are there the legislative races and statewide, but also races for judges in Montgomery County. We've got a contested race here in Montgomery County for judge, and there will be other county commission race. We've got some county commissioner. We got 1 county commission seat in Montgomery County. It will be contested, from what I've been told. I haven't checked the filing lately. So there's going to be a lot to vote on August the 4th. One thing I'm going to mention, James, today, and I will probably mention it again before August the 4th voting. The legislature this last session passed SCR 1611, which allows, and that's all it does not amend the Kansas Constitution, but it allows voters to weigh in if they want to amend the Kansas Constitution for the election of justices to the Kansas Supreme Court. Now, some people immediately throw up a barrier and say, no, that'd be a bad idea. Other people, it's like, we should do that. Well, I'm going to sort of give some reasons why I believe we should. There are 7 states that have partisan elections. Now, will Kansas election be partisan? Probably, but that has yet to be determined. 7 states have partisan elections, which means the candidate files as a Democrat, Republican, or whatever major party. 13 states are nonpartisan. So a person runs for the state Supreme Court. One of those as close as Arkansas. They vote on their Supreme Court justices. I could go through the list. I'm not going to. But that means 20 states in the United States elect their Supreme Court justices. Kansas does not. Kansas has a unique system of selecting Supreme Court justices. And this is not only timely for the upcoming election, James, but I am confident a lot of Kansans are unaware right now, today, we have a vacancy on the Kansas Supreme Court. We had an individual, the Chief Justice, Marla Lukert, who had some health issues. So she stepped down as Chief Justice. And then her health issues, it was clear to her that she needed to invest a whole lot more time dealing with them. So she's stepping down from the Supreme Court. So we have a vacancy. The current process is filled by lawyers. Why do I say that? We have a 9-member commission. 4 are elected by lawyers. If you are a member of the bar, Kansas Bar Association, you have a vote on 4 of the members of this body. And the chair is also elected by lawyers. So that means 5 of the 9 members are elected by lawyers. The other 4 are appointed by the governor. So this leaves us, me and you, average voter, totally out in the cold. We do not have an opportunity to weigh in on who are our Supreme Court justices. The commission, what they do, this 9-member commission, is they will take applications from those who want to be a Supreme Court justice. They'll look at the applications, they will interview the applicants, and then they will send 3 names to the governor for the governor to appoint one of the 3. The process is the governor has 60 days, and she was given those names on the 20th. So it's been less than 10 days. The governor was given those 3 names to appoint one of the 3. Should the governor look at those names and determine in doing some further investigating and due diligence that, well, I really don't think any of these 3 should be on the Supreme Court, the governor says, nope, I'm not going to appoint any of these three. Okay, that can happen. Hasn't happened, but it can. If that does happen, then the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court must choose one of those three. So again, it totally leaves citizens out of the process. Why is that important? Well, we had a vacancy in 2025. We've got a vacancy this year. Governor Sebelius, she appointed four to the Supreme Court. Two are still on the Supreme Court. Governor Brownback appointed one. He's still on the Supreme Court. Governor Kelly has appointed three and one on the way. So she will have the opportunity to have four of the seven justices on the Supreme Court. Now, as it relates to why I really think this is timely, one of the three nominees that the commission has nominated is a guy named Folsom. Folsom is a man who has been in the court system. He's a judge currently. Governor Kelly nominated him to be on the Court of Appeals. Currently, all smaller courts, Court of Appeals, which is just under the state Supreme Court, and lower, do have input from citizens. Sometimes it's through the legislature, sometimes it's direct election. Like we just talked about, we've got district court judges who will be elected by Montgomery County and Chautauqua County residents for District 14, and then other counties, it's other districts. Mr. Folsom was put up for a seat on the appellate court, the Court of Appeals, in 2020. And the nominee by the governor must stand for Senate confirmation. What that process means is the Judiciary Committee will bring in the candidate, ask them questions, and then generally most candidates will then go around to each individual senator and visit with that senator, and the senator can ask questions. After that process in 2020, the Kansas Senate said no to Mr. Folsom being appointed to the Court of Appeals. Well, James, then in 2020, we had a Senate election, and I was elected in 2020. The governor said, well, we've got a new Senate. I'm going to again nominate Mr. Folsom to the Court of Appeals. We had 13 new senators. I was one of the new senators in 2021. So same process. Through the judiciary, interviewed, he met with senators. A new Senate again said no to Mr. Folsom being on the appellate court. So that means 53 senators. There are 40 senators, 13 changed. So two different Senates said absolutely no to Mr. Folsom being on the Court of Appeals. He is one of the three nominees to be on the Kansas Supreme Court. I really hope the governor does not appoint him, but I'm fearful she will. Another thing on this particular process, why is it important for Kansas citizens to have the opportunity to elect? The Kansas legislature passed Senate Bill 63, which is the Help Not Harm legislation that would prohibit health care providers from providing treatments to children who don't seem to understand that God created them male or female and they want to be the other gender, which is impossible to do, but there are still treatments you can take that can change you in some way, but you will still always have those traits that you were born with. It passed overwhelmingly, 31-9 in the Senate, 85-34 in the Kansas House. Mr. Folsom, Judge Folsom, has put a stay on implementation of that law. Basically what he's saying is, and he even said it, I don't know if I can find the quote or not, he said, it is harmful to withhold medical treatment or withdraw medical treatment in progress that is safe, effective, and medically indicated. Well, that's a ridiculous statement to my way of thinking. Medically indicated, safe, it's not. When you start giving cross-hormone therapy, and I'm not a doctor, that's one reason I wish Dr. Bryce was here, to individuals who are taking treatment to change their sex, it's not a good thing. But he has said this law will not take effect. Kansas citizens, I'm sure, disagree with that. So we shall see how the vote comes out in August, but we'll talk about this another time. I know we're up against the clock.
And I know we have an event coming up here on the 13th, but that's in Independence, right?
That is in Independence. I will just briefly mention that. Free lunch from 11 to 1 at the Civic Center. The event is hosted by the Montgomery County Republican Women, the Montgomery County Republicans. Just an information on this particular ballot measure, judicial selection.
All right, this is KGGF Coffeeville.